I'm really starting to realize my age. Getting up there. Some of you are thinking, yeah, you don't even know anything about that. I went to St. Louis Christian College Friday morning and preached in their chapel where I went to school. Every Wednesday, Friday, they have chapel at 9:25. It seems like an odd time. I'll just make it 9:30. But 9:25, they have a chapel service. And they have guest preachers come and speak. And this was the first time I'd been back to the college to preach during a chapel service since my senior chapel. Every student that graduates has to put on a chapel service, organize it, either preach it themselves or get someone to preach for them. And I did that back in 2007. And so I was heading down to the floor level, to the platform to preach. Their seating's kind of stadium style, where you guys would be up here and I would be down here. And I stood in front of them and it just clicked in my mind. I said, how many of you were born in 2000 or 2001? And about a third of the hands shot up, and I thought, that's the year I graduated high school. I'm thinking to myself, oh, you guys are so cute and little. You're just little kids, you know. And I'm just this gray-bearded old man losing my hair. But it was a fun experience getting to go over there. I want to give a proposition. We're starting a new message series, and I want you to really mull this over the next few weeks. God wants to take what happens to you to accomplish his work in you so that you can fulfill his purpose through you. It's a mouthful. I want to read it again. God wants to take what happens to you to accomplish his work in you so that he can fulfill his purpose through you. As a Christian, we don't just follow a couple of steps and then we've made it. We've arrived. But God is continually changing things in us. We have things that happen to us, whether good or bad, and God can use those in us so that his purposes can be accomplished through us. God doesn't accomplish everything on this planet by his divine providence and his hand touching it. But many of the things that happen on this earth in God's name happens through you, through me, through Christ's followers. And we have to remain open to this. Because God wants to put us on a mission. We are called to be on a mission. We're to be moving and shaking as a Christian and influencing other people's lives. We're commissioned. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Matthew 28 for a moment here. In Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission. Each and every one of us are commissioned. What's it mean to be commissioned? Well, it means to be instructed, commanded, or given a duty to a person or a group. And so if you want to be called a Christian, you want to be a Christ follower, then you have been commissioned. I'm titling this sermon series, Mission Possible, because it is possible that you can be a part of this mission as a follower of Jesus. Unfortunately, we look at it as an impossible mission. You maybe feel you're not equipped, or you don't have the right words to say, or you're nervous or scared. But Jesus doesn't leave this up to just the preacher, the elders, a missionary, but he calls upon all followers to be his witnesses, that we are on a mission. We've been instructed, commanded, and we have a duty. And there's an expectation here of a Christian to go and share their faith. It extends further than maybe sweeping a floor or preparing communion. Those are good things. But there is an expectation placed on the believer that we would share what it is that we know. After all, if you're a Christian sitting here today, there was a time in your life you were not saved. You were outside of Christ. But then for some reason you chose, and probably one or two people led you to that decision. And aren't you glad they did that? And we should find motivation to do this because, to be frank, there are people in your family, where you work, in your circle of friends, in your neighborhood, who are outside of Christ, and when they die, they will go to hell. That sounds awful blunt, but that's what the Bible teaches. And so there should be a sense of urgency in the follower of Christ to share their faith. And in Matthew 28, we read the Great Commission. You've probably heard this many times, but to refresh you, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's interesting how Jesus phrases this Great Commission. He first starts out by saying, all authority. There is no one higher than me, no one greater than me, and there never will be. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he gives them their marching orders, their commission. what they are to do. And then he ends this by saying, and remember, I will be with you always. I want us to look at the Great Commission in a different way. Take the word commission. Let's separate that first syllable, co-mission. And I think many followers of Christ think they're trying to accomplish the Great Commission by themselves. And Jesus said, I am with you always. There is a co-mission. You have a partner in your mission, and it's Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that resides in the Christian that will help you in this. And too often we get so concerned about the end result that we neglect to think about ourselves. And this morning, this isn't a selfish thing to take a self-inventory. What's going on with the condition of my heart? Because if Jesus doesn't have you in the palm of His hand, if you're outside of that, then it's going to be really hard for God to take what's happened to you, change it in you so that He can work through you. He won't be able to. And maybe that's why you feel ineffective in sharing your faith. And so we're going to take a self-examination this morning. We're going to look at Mark chapter 4, a very popular parable that Jesus taught. It's taught here that a seed was planted. And for us, when we read this story, I think too often, and we do this in our lives, we tend not to pay attention to the seed, and we look for the end result, the harvest, what we reap, what we accomplish. And this morning, I don't want us to focus on the harvest as I want us to focus on the seed and the soil. The parable of the sower this morning that we're going to look at is also found in Matthew and Luke. But it starts out, Jesus has a crowd that's been following him. He's at the Sea of Galilee. He climbs into a boat. The people are on the hillside. It's kind of a natural amphitheater. And Jesus starts to tell this story. So look in verse 3. Listen. It's interesting how Jesus starts out his parable. Must be important. What's the first step to salvation? You first have to hear the Word of God. What Jesus is about to teach on is of utmost importance. So he starts out by saying, listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it all up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And so a seed was planted in the ground. And something happens in the ground. And it's interesting that when you plant a seed in the ground, you can't see what happens beneath the soil. And that's where we as Christians, we get frustrated. We grow weary because God has planted His seed in us, and we have to be patient to see what it is that God is going to do and how He is going to grow that seed. In the story, the seed is very obvious. It's God's Word. And for you and I, God is constantly planting His seed in the soil of your heart, and it's up to us to be preparing the soil. It's up to us to do the hard work to make sure that the heart, the soil, is ready to receive the seed. But it takes hard work. And too often we don't want to do the hard work. We want to fast forward to the harvest. But we have to realize the harvest doesn't come unless the soil is prepared. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. How many of you have ever been to an apple orchard? It's that time of year to go pick some apples. You go to an apple orchard, it's interesting. You go, you get a basket, you go out, and you pick any apple you want. Apples, not just apple. It'd be kind of funny if you just got one. And you didn't do anything to get those apples to grow, right? You got to reap the benefit of the harvest without doing any of the work. Now, here's a business venture that would probably never get off the ground. You go to a field where a guy's standing there, and you give him your hard-earned money, and then he hands you a bag of seeds, a hoe and a rake, and a shovel, and says, go out into that briar patch and start planting the trees. Would any of you pay to do that? No. That's hard work. But as a Christian, We have to be ready to put in the hard work to cultivate the soil of our hearts. So when the Word of God, the seed that Jesus uses, the illustration in the story, that our heart's ready to receive it. But it takes hard work. And we want spirituality now. How many of you have heard of life hacks? Do you look into those, try to make life a little easier? This is an American thing. I mean, you go on the internet and you find life hacks, and they make things easier or happen quicker. I was looking through some life hacks this week, and I found one for making a grilled cheese sandwich. Now, all that you got to, this life hack, you turn a toaster on its side, put the cheese on the bread, put it in the top and the bottom. It's like an oven. It's parallel, and you just slide the thing in, and it goes in there, and it heats up. It toasts the bread. It melts the cheese. And in due time, it pops out. Flip it over. Bam. Grilled cheese sandwich. No dirty pan. No spatula. How many of you are going to try that this week? You're probably thinking to yourself, finally the preacher gave me something that's practical and I can use. But you know, this is kind of the American way. We want things as easy as they can be and as fast as possible. Right? We want results now. And when it comes to the Word of God growing in us and maturing into a harvest, we fail to take the time, to have the patience, do the hard work, so that our hearts are ready for the seed, and that in God's time, the harvest will come. You look back into the Old Testament. We're not the only ones that had trouble with this. Abraham. God told him, you will become the father of many nations, many people. Look at the stars. Your descendants will be greater than the number of stars in the sky. I think that he wanted that pretty badly. You want to know why I think that? He left his home, everything that he knew, to go somewhere that he did not know where he was going or who would be there when he got there. But he trusted God because he wanted that. And he had to wait till he was 100 years old for it to start. That took some patience. You think of Moses, grew up in Pharaoh's household, privileged. Then he learned who he was, a Hebrew. And then he realized that things were being done to the Hebrews as slaves for 400 years was not right. And God called him to liberate those Hebrews. But he had to be a shepherd in the desert for 40 years before that happened. Joseph was given a dream. But he had to put a lot of hard work into keeping his fertile heart where it needed to be so that God in his time could reap a harvest. And so you should pray for patience. Pray for patience that God will use what's happening to you to change things in you so that he can work through you. So that one day a harvest will happen. You know, if farming were instant, I think there'd be a lot more farmers, wouldn't it? If farming was easy work, there'd be a lot more kids graduating high school saying, I'm going to be a farmer. But you just don't see that happening. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is continually at work in your life. So do the hard work of keeping your heart prepared. If I had watermelon seeds and I put them on a shelf in my garage during the summer, and I decided, man, a good watermelon, it tastes pretty good right now. And I go out and I grab a seed and I eat it. Is it going to taste like a watermelon? No. I gotta go out in my yard. I got to till up the soil. I got to get that thing prepared. I got to get it's planted and watered and tend to it and do the hard work. And then in a few months, I would reap the harvest. And so we have to put in the hard work and be faithful that God will carry it to completion. Now, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus does something interesting with this parable. He explains it. In my mind, thinking into Scripture, this is the only parable that Jesus really fully explained. I think he wanted his disciples to fully know the condition of the soil of your heart is extremely important. So he goes on in verse 14. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Jesus makes this story very simple to understand. That God is the farmer, and the seed that the farmer is sowing is His word. And the soil, well, that's you and I. And there's four conditions that our heart can be in. And He tells us what these are. There's the path. This would be the hardened walkway that the farmer would take each and every day as he went to and from his field to tend to his field. It became compacted to the point that if a seed fell, just as if I plopped a seed right down on the stage, it would never take root because the soil is too compacted. And what he is saying is this is a hardened heart. And the longer a hardened heart is hardened, then it gets hardened to the point that it doesn't realize that it's hardened. And it all comes down to the condition of the soil. There are some symptoms of a hardened heart. And you see these with Jesus' confrontations with the Pharisees. Here's a couple of conditions of a hardened heart. One is just going through the motions. Because you can come to church and have a hardened heart. You walk through the doors not really wanting to have a conversation with anyone. Not really caring about what's going on in someone else's life. You go through the worship service, your mind is elsewhere. You take communion, your mind is still someplace else. You flippantly care about giving an offering. The preaching happens, and you're thinking about the to-do list for the week. And then you just walk out the doors. And you're just going through the motions. Spiritual apathy is another. You just don't care. I know what's right and what's wrong, but I don't know. I don't really care these days. And that can be a condition of a hardened heart, a stubborn resistance, a refusal. There's something in your life you know that you shouldn't be doing or it's wrong, but you're stubborn, you dig in your heels, and you just don't want to hear about it. And that can be a sign of the condition of a hardened heart. You know, do you realize I can see you? You can see me. But do you know I can see you? Because sometimes I'm up here and it's just kind of, I see. Spouses are looking at each other. And we can have a stubbornness rooted within us. And, well, we just don't want to give in. We dig our heels in. Another is bitter resentment. You blame God for everything that's happened, or maybe you blamed a spouse or a child or a friend, and life has trampled you down to the point that you're a hardened path, and the seed of God's word can't penetrate because it's so compacted. And Jesus is saying, you need to watch the condition of the heart. Do the hard work so that your heart's not trampled on, so that you're not a path. He then talks about rocky places. Jesus said the rocky places received the word with joy, but it was shallow. And perhaps something else comes along. Or there's not time for this, there's not time for that, but there's time for this and there's time for that. And there's no depth there. There's no sense of urgency. It's just something to do if I have time or can get around to it. Or maybe some discouragement comes along and we just kind of fall off track and you bail. The other soil that Jesus mentions is that among the thorns. The soil among the thorns. It received and it started to grow. Oh man, this looks promising. Something good's going to happen here. But the weeds choke it out. The seed didn't stand a chance. The weeds won. You know, we tried to plant our field back here this spring. It was covered in weeds. Tried to do a no-till, planted soybeans. We thought the weeds were going to die, but they didn't. And guess who won? The weeds were victorious because they were there. And the soybeans didn't stand a chance. They were cut out. They were cut completely out. And so Jesus says, examples of this are the worries of life. That's anxiety. We are an anxious culture. And it can be a weed planted in our seeds, and it destroys. He also says the deceitfulness of wealth. And for many, that can be their identity. That's what they're all about. That's how they gain status. And Jesus said, that weed among your seeds will choke it out. And then Jesus says, the pleasures of life, the things that you passionately pursue, if they're a weed, it's going to choke out the seed that God has planted in you. It's like this. You come here today, and you get seeds planted in your heart, and then we go out throughout the week, and I don't know if this is possible. I was told in the first service you can get this. We plant weed seeds. We plant weed seeds in the seed of God that's been planted in us, and it chokes out and it wins every single time. I don't know where you get weed seeds, where you get those, but you find them in everyday life. The things that we plant into our hearts, and they're gonna dominate, and it's gonna make God's word, the seed of God's word, very hard to grow a harvest. And it seems kind of ridiculous that we will come to worship, and maybe you'll be home reading your Bible, and you'll have a prayer life with God, but then on the side, we're still dabbling in weed seeds. And we keep planting those in our hearts, and it causes damage, and we can't grow, and it makes it really hard for us to see a harvest come. And what happens? We grow weary and tired and frustrated. We might think, well, God's not even on my side. It's not God's fault. It's not your spouse's fault. It's not your neighbor's fault. It's not your best friend's fault. We have to own it. And you got to say, you know what? It's my fault. It's my fault. And we start trying to live our life in a different way. We start paying closer attention to the condition of the soil of our heart, and we do the hard work that it takes so that we can be like the last soil that Jesus mentions, the good soil. This was the soil that was a responsive heart. It welcomed the word, the seed. Because why? Because it was prepared in the right way. Guess what? God created seeds to do a certain function. He created seeds to grow and to produce a harvest. The Bible also says that God's word, when it plants into our hearts, will not return void. So God has a plan that His word, when it's planted in the condition of a good heart, that good will come from it, and a harvest will be a benefit. But it takes patience. It takes a whole lot of patience to get to this. But the secret ingredient, the fertilizer that we need, is this right here. And if we allow our hearts to be open to God's word, and we do the hard work, we pick up the shovel, we pick up the hoe, and we get to work, then real change will happen in us so that God can work through us so that eventually you'll see a harvest. And when you hear the word, the Great Commission, many people, they run for the exits. I don't know if I can share my faith. I don't want to, you know, cross a barrier with a friend. This makes me nervous. I don't have the right words to say. You know what? This week, don't worry about that. Take this week to really consider what's going on in your heart. Which soil are you? Are you the path, the rocky place, planting a little too many weeds in the seeds of God's word? Really take a self-inventory this week. And I'm not condemning any soil, but God wants you to be that good soil so that He can do a great work through you. There's a civil war that goes on within all of us. I shared with the students at St. Louis Christian College in the first year I was there, and I told them, I said, I hated it. It was hard. I was being challenged in so many different ways. After that first year, I had enrolled at Greenville College, wasn't going to go back. I said, this place made me mad. I hated it at times. I said, I didn't act on that impulse. I went back the second year, and all of a sudden things started being, they were just different for me. And I told him, I look back on that part of my life and I realize that was God taking me from who I was and changing me into who He wanted me to be. And it hurt. I had to do the hard work, but I'm sure glad I did it. And you'll be glad as well. to pick up the rake, the shovel, the hoe, and get to work and do the hard work. Prepare the soil of your heart so that when God's word is placed there, it'll be welcomed. It'll be welcomed with joy because you know that God, He is faithful and true. He will never let you down, and you will see a harvest in due time. And I want you to say a prayer this week that God, whatever you do, I want you to do in me today, and I want to be patient and wait on your timing. And help me, God, to do the hard work. And many of you in this room have made that choice. And we're going to sing a song of worship this morning together. And if you've already made that choice to follow Christ, you're a Christian, then I want you to realize the magnitude of what God has done for you, in you, and through you. And He does not want that to stop. So many people come to Christ and they just kind of stop right there. Well, I'm a Christian. No, it's a process. Every single day, God remaking who you are into who He wants you to be, using the good and the bad of your life to change who you are so that He can work through you. And if you haven't become a Christian yet, God wants to tend to the soil of your heart through His Son, Jesus Christ. He can break through and change so many things for you. And so this morning, we welcome you to make a decision, if you feel led to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Put your faith and trust in Him. Let's stand and let's worship together.